and he will be sacked.
And Aaron Rodgers gets up with a limp. Aaron Rodgers is sitting down in the field. He's hurt.
Son of a...
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm talking about the freaking New York Jets having a curse hanging over
from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Every time we think we're out, you got the football gods pull us back in.
Earlier on the show, ESPN SportsCenter anchor Scott Van Pelt. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had hour number one of conversations with you at 844-204-RICH and with Scott Van Pelt of the Worldwide Leader in Sports, who is hosting his Sports Center program after hosting Monday Night Countdown from MetLife, a roller coaster ride. Obviously came on the air with my opinion as a Jet fan from Staten Island. Rich from Staten Island started the program today.
Hey,
long time host, first time caller. That was the way we started. Hour number three on this program, Daniel Jeremiah will let us know what's on his mind, what he thinks the Jets should be doing, what Zach Wilson looked like. He's also in the booth for the Los Angeles Chargers on the radio side of things. So he personally witnessed Tyreek Hill rampage his way with Tua through an exhilarating week one victory for the Dolphins. They've got the Patriots next, and I'll tell you what, if the Jets are going to be a shadow of what they could have been and the Bills are going to have a problem being consistent, you know, certainly on the road in division, or Josh Allen might have a turnover issue, the Dolphins emerge from week number one, dude, looking the best out of all the AFC East teams. That is a fact.
100%.
So, because Tyreek Hill looks unguardable, and Tua, as I said yesterday in my top five list of most pleasant surprises of week one of the season, it looks like he could take care of himself where he gets rid of the ball, or as I referred to it, Tua Jitsu.
Hey,
looks pretty darn good. And so that's a big Sunday night game. If the Dolphins can go to 2-0, and the Jets are going to have to try and maintain enough points on offense with a quarterback that still might not be ready for the prime time that the rest of the roster is ready for, and Josh Allen is inconsistent, the Dolphins have a path to the AFC East basket here. So that's a pretty darn big game. And later on in this program, my top five performances, standout performances of week number one, now that week number one is in the books. And I do believe we have another guest that we're adding to our guest list in hour number three, a very special guest that I don't want to announce yet. I will just tease until he is officially confirmed. But that's coming up right now. Joining us on Zoom for the first time, because he's always called in, now that we've got live Zooms on the Rich Eisen Show, my buddy from Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer. Good to see you in the flesh, Albert.
Good to see you too. I we don't have to worry about phone reception
right
now or any of that. It's nice to know we'll be able to get through the 20 minutes without my phone interrupting or interfering in any way.
All good, Albert. And it's great to see you because I get to see the tan. I get to see the summer tan still lingering.
The days are numbered.
And again,
the
fact that I get to see you is great until I see what's behind you. You got the horseshoe behind? I mean, look at this.
You like that? Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
So that's 02, which was a national championship season. That's 14. Which was a national championship season. I have a helmet here. This is
oh my gosh.
This is Eli Apple's helmet from the national title season.
All right. Isn't that lovely?
And then on the other side, this is my high school. So there you go.
Hey,
attaboy, Albert.
But most importantly, before we get to everything,
the Ohio flag just fell, which maybe is because I'm on the phone with you.
That's also a metaphor. but before we start, tell me, what did you do? Tell everyone what you did Sunday morning. What did you do Sunday morning? Go ahead, Albert.
Yeah, I will always remember the first Sunday of the 2023 NFL season,
and
because
why
I coached my kid in his very first tackle football game.
Wow.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
Yep. And we did not win, but we lost 20-0. But you know what? Like, those kids were resilient, and we have 13 third graders out. The other team has 46 kids out, and we hung in there, and at the end of the first half, we started to move the ball a little bit, had a couple of positive plays, and we shut them out in the second half. And so, you know, like I, what I tried to tell the kids at the end was I had them, I, you know, and I'm an assistant coach, but I said, raise your hand if this is your first game playing. And a bunch of them raised their hands. And I said, a lot of the kids you're playing against have played before. And just look at the improvement that you made from the start of the game to the end of the game. Start of the game, we were wondering if we were going to be able to finish it. And then by the end, you were going toe to toe with them. So, So yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenal experience. Rich, I don't know if you've coached any of your kids, but you know, it's hard with our jobs to do that. I think you probably experienced the same thing, and it's really, really awesome when you get a chance to do it.
And you, I couldn't be happier for you, brother. That's pretty neat. That's really a great cool. way to start off a football season. Nice. That's for sure. Let's jump into what are the Jets doing right now? What are they doing in the front office right now? Albert, as
yeah.
we talk.
Well, so obviously they get the news this morning. You know, my understanding at some point today may have already happened that Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas and the powers that be there are going to sit down and talk through their options. You know, obviously there are some veteran names out there, some big names out there that you would think you might place a call to, just, you know, exploratory, you know, like your Tom Brady, your Philip Rivers, your, you know, your Matt Ryan, who's in the booth now. I don't think that's at the top of their list of things to do, but like that'd be something that you would discuss in a meeting like that. And then the next level of it is that you start to talk about veteran names that are out there that might be a backup to Zach Wilson and an option to start if things don't go well with Zach Wilson. And there are a couple of guys out there now that Joe Douglas has experience with from his years in Philadelphia, and Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. And so I think the likelihood is that they go and get a veteran backup for Zach Wilson and kind of the break glass in a case of an emergency guy. But, you know, it's obviously not an ideal situation. And, you know, I know a lot of the people in that building are down right now. And it's, you know, it's just a matter of trying to get the depth chart in order and trying, I think, at this point to provide a united front for Zach Wilson.
Well, and I know my colleague our friend Ian Rappaport on Game Day Morning said that the Jets knocked on the Rams' door before Rodgers for Stafford. Mm-hmm. And Stafford looked terrific. And I don't know why the Rams would pull the plug on anything that they feel is a surprising season. And Stafford loves it out here, and obviously they have a marriage for years to come. But what sort of YOLO names are out there of current starters in the NFL that the Jets could make the proverbial Godfather offer for, Albert?
You know, the problem is Rich, is that we're at the point of the season where everybody still has hope, you know? And so, you know, I think the type of like Hail Mary you're talking about throwing would happen if a team was 1-7 at the end of October and mm-hmm. you're close to the trade deadline and maybe this team is having a trouble getting a guy signed to an extension. We're still so early in the season. I mean, what sort of message does that send your fan base, you know, on top of everything else,
right?
If you're detaching from a guy who would potentially be an answer for another team that's trying to contend. So I think the timing of it makes it more difficult. But, you know, like I would say, like, there's a lot of the things we thought about the Jets did come true last night. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, like the young skill position talent is there. Some talent on the offensive line, the interior of the offensive line looks okay. The defense looks fast, looks physical, you know, and it's got the stars that played really well last night, both Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams. But beyond that, like, they've got depth all over the place. And so, you know, you sort of wonder if this team, if this roster, the Jets roster, is strong enough to where you can, you know, basically take a 6 or 7 week trial run with Zach Wilson. And if it works out, great. And if not, you explore your options at the trade deadline where more options might materialize because other teams, you know, have gone the wrong way over the course of the first 2 months of the season. So I think that's sort of more than what would you be looking at. And remember, I mean, I would say, like, one thing that Robert Saleh said last night is pretty forthright, which is the idea that Zach Wilson could eventually make it is something that's been in the back of the heads of the Jets people for a while now. Now, it didn't look great last night, but you know, there's a reason why they kept him around. And, you know, I was told before they even traded for Aaron Rodgers that their ideal situation was keep Zach Wilson, sit him down for a year or two, and then hope that he turns the corner over that year or two that he's sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. And that was something that they approached Zach Wilson about while they were pursuing the trade, something they got his sign off on. So they still thought enough of Zach Wilson to keep him around in a potentially awkward situation with a Hall of Fame quarterback coming in. So I do think that there's some sentiment in the building right now, like, let's at least see what Zach Wilson can do before we do anything too rash.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And once this all subsides, and maybe it's already subsiding, the conversation about turf has returned. I saw you kind of were in the middle of all that on Twitter last night, Albert. And so why are there artificial surfaces still in the National Football League when we see it over and over again? I mean, and I know player protection and player safety is something that is said, and for many people in the NFL, it is their reason for coming to work, that it is serious business. But I mean, Woody Johnson should go to the next owners meeting, as far as I'm concerned, and show up and say, we're, you know, or go to the Giants now and say, we're putting in grass. Like, this is the end of that. Because you just saw last night, obviously we will never know if Rodgers' foot would have given way, if that was a natural surface. But every player that was on social media last night said absolutely Rodgers would be getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys had that not been the pellet surface that the Jets are playing on right now, Albert.
Right. So I think it's sort of like a multi-tiered thing. And I would go back to, you know, like basically the price point of the stadiums and the price point of the teams. And if we want to go back like a few years, like even a billion for a team was a lot. We just had a team sell for $6 billion. If you want to go back 20 years, like the stadiums that opened in Detroit and Philadelphia and New England, all those stadiums that opened during that little boom there, like I'd say like 2000 to 2004, those stadiums cost whatever, $300 million, $400 million. Well, now you have a stadium out there by where you live that opened that cost $6 billion. So the price point of these teams and these stadiums have made it such where owners look at it and say, I can't pay this much for my team. I can't pay this much for the stadium, and justify only having 10 football games in here a year and a few other events. I need to monetize the stadium. I need to put as many events as I possibly can into this stadium to make sure that I'm justifying the cost of my team. I'm justifying the cost of my stadium. And so what happens when you do that is it makes it much harder to maintain a grass surface. You could pour tens of millions of dollars into making the grass surface work, or you could just lay down artificial turf and then everything becomes a lot easier for you. And most teams, a lot of teams have made the choice, we're going to go to the turf. And to me, like the real kind of like, ones that stick out are the ones in the South, right? Like it's hard enough in the Northeast. It's hard in the Northeast to maintain grass. You could do it, but why isn't there grass in Nashville? Why isn't there grass in Charlotte? You know, I think these are fair questions to ask. And the other questions that are fair to ask, why are all these teams accommodating international soccer? Like these teams come over from Europe. They have rules. Like we don't allow our players on artificial surfaces. So how come they can lay grass in their football stadiums over the artificial turf for the soccer players, but they can't maintain a grass surface for the football players? How come they're doing it for the World Cup? So like, I think it all comes down to money. And I think if anybody listening to this wants to go and look, Google Real Madrid and look at their grass system. And it's because they have to do it, right? Because they want to have a lot of events in the stadium that they gutted and rebuilt. But they have a system that's absolutely unbelievable, like human ingenuity. You know what I mean? Like this stadium has a grass surface that goes underground, has sprinklers and lights and all this different stuff underground so they can have all these events in the stadium and also have the best soccer surface possible. Why won't NFL teams do that? And there's one team that has gone above and beyond, and that's the one team that doesn't have an owner. The Packers have gone above and beyond to manage the number of events they have in that stadium to have the very best surface. It's like a hybrid synthetic natural surface, How come they can maintain a surface in January in northern Wisconsin, but you can't in Nashville or Charlotte? How does that make sense? And what's the difference between the Packers and the other 31 teams? They don't have an owner who's pocketing the difference. So I think there's a larger discussion to be had here. And, you know, again, like, it's just, we've seen so many cases, and I don't know that this specific one is a glaring example, but, you know, we saw it with Sean Gary in Detroit last year. We saw it with Nick Bosa a couple of years ago in New York. We saw it with Sterling Shepard, you know, at MetLife. So I don't know if this one's a specific example of it. Maybe it would have happened regardless based on how the other guy fell on top of Aaron Rodgers. But I think the players have a real case here and a real argument to make as far as why, you know, at least a fair question to ask as far as like why in the world in this business that makes tens of billions of dollars every year, can we not invest back into the players by giving them the best possible surface to play on?
Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, a few minutes left with him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What happened with Chris Jones and the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and what happens moving forward with them right now?
So, yeah, the Chris Jones situation, I feel like the Chiefs tried their best to give him an opportunity to save face here because I think he'd sort of run out of options. The Aaron Donald outlier contract had sort of poisoned negotiations, and they had worked in that middle ground between what Aaron Jones got and what the other top D tackles like Quinnen Williams and Jeffrey Simmons and Dexter Lawrence got. Like, they were working in that middle ground, but they couldn't find a middle ground to do a long-term deal. So after the Thursday night game, they launched talks on what the Chiefs considered was a final swing, right? Let's redo your deal and just do this 1 year and fix it so it's fixed for this 1 year. And so they gave him a couple of incentives that are pretty easy to hit, 35% play time, 50% play time, that'll allow him to make the $2 million that he lost in fines back. Now, what he lost in the game check from last week, over $1 million, what he lost in the workout bonus in the spring, the $500,000, that'll be harder to make up. In fact, to make that up, Rich, he is going to have to be the defensive player of the year and win the Super Bowl. That's the only way he'll exceed what he would have made.
That's it.
If he had just showed up for everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is a situation where I think it's very easy to question the holdout and whether or not Chris Jones did the right thing. And it sucks because players used to have this lever to pull, but it's a very, very hard lever to pull now based on the way the rules are set up, you know, via the CBA that was negotiated a couple of years ago. And, you know, I think the good news is that, you know, they did handle a situation over the weekend. Chris stayed in Kansas City after the game and was there all weekend. He'll be there today to take his physical. And I don't think there's any acrimony between the sides. I think they're both amenable to doing a new deal after all this and having Chris Jones remain a Chief the rest of his career. But clearly the holdout didn't work.
And yesterday, Albert, on our show on Monday, we had a poll question. Chris, it was which team should be most panicked after week one, right?
That's right, panicked after week one.
And you chose the Bengals, Steelers, Seahawks, and Giants.
Correct.
The Giants won that poll, correct?
Yes, 62%.
Mm-hmm. However, the Steelers and the Seahawks are announcing injuries over the last 24 hours that would have me more concerned for them. The Steelers just announced that Cam Hayward needs groin surgery and that Deontay Johnson will not be able to answer the bell for the Monday night game against Cleveland. And Seattle's banged up on their line now, right, Albert? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, so Seattle's got the injury to Charles Cross. They're bringing in Jason Peters. And like you said, the Steelers have Deontay Johnson and Cam Hayward now on the shelf. And I think in both cases, you can kind of trust the program, right? Like, remember, the Steelers were 1-6 at one point last year. They won 8 of their last 10. They still have like a really good young nucleus on offense with Kenny Pickett and Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth and George Pickens. And then Seattle, you look at all the young players they brought in last year, the amount of guys that they had come in last year. And one of them was Charles Cross. But they've got really, really good depth from the last couple of draft classes. And Pete Carroll's shown an ability to win year over year. I would feel okay if I was those teams. Maybe the ceiling's lowered a little bit, but I feel okay. The Giants, I'd sort of agree with the people who voted in the poll just because I do think that there was a – I think that Brian Daboll – and Joe Shane took a realistic approach to building their team this year. And that last year could fool some people into thinking they were closer than they actually were. And that was a really good group of players, and they were clutch, and they got the most out of Daniel Jones, and they did a lot of things right. But if you look at what they did in the offseason, they took care of some of their own guys, and Daniel Jones and Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas, but they didn't go overboard and bringing in guys from the outside. This was always going to be a 2 or 3 year process for them in building that roster up. I think there's an acknowledgement in the way they've built this the last 2 years that this was going to take time. And so if they take a step back this year, and that was sort of illustrated by what happened on Sunday night, I don't think the people in that building would be shocked. Like, if they step back to 7 wins this year, it might not make the fan base happy, but I could see where the people in that building would view it as part of the process, where I don't think Pittsburgh or Seattle would look at it that way.
All right, Albert, thanks for the time, and I'm glad that you're on Zoom so I could see your face when I'm about to say what I said in text exchange with the you and our buddy Don last night. Garrett Wilson is one of my favorite Jets. I love that kid. I love
him. He's something else, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness. That touchdown grab.
And imagine having to live with the regret that we had him and Chris Olave on the same team with C.J. Stroud and couldn't get it done in November of 2021.
What? Look how we're throwing verbal bouquets at each other right now. Okay.
Yeah.
I gave you one. You gave me one. Okay.
Well, maybe it's the eye to eye. Maybe it's the fact that we can see each other.
Okay. Could be that too. Yeah. That we could be like children where we're tough when we don't have to look at each other. All right, Albert. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. We'll chat again soon.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Senior NFL reporter, the MMQBs, and lead content strategist of Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer. And you saw basically, see, that's another thing too. That's the life of an information man or woman in the NFL. Did you see what you weren't looking at the screen?
No, what happened?
As soon as he was done, he took his earpiece out and just went right on his computer. Yeah. He's trying to find out what's going on.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, a lot of injury stuff breaking today. Obviously, the Jets quarterback stuff. Ugh.
We'll take a break. We'll take more of your phone calls. The Bills side of things, my top 5 performances of week 1. And then we will talk about hour 3 and our looming guest.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki. A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
I cannot believe you watched Charles Oakley get dragged out of Madison Square Garden with your own 2 eyes, Bob. I mean, I could not.
Spike Lee was there. You couldn't believe it.
Did everyone just like it during
the time? Wait a minute, Spike Lee was there?
Boo, boo.
It's so nice. That next thing you're going to tell me, Jack Nicholson was at the Lakers game.
McEnroe was there. I know McEnroe, he was right there. He was practically in Oakley's lap.
Yeah, was Woody Allen there?
He was not.
I don't know why that's funny.
John Lithgow? Was John there?
Steve Earle was there. I saw Steve Earle.
Okay. Oh, really?
This is the new Madison Square Garden.
Leon was there, the actor.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he was there.
What about...
Bob Costas? Told you.
Costas. Now...
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell this story?
Not feeling me.
You got to tell the Costas story.
Tell the story.
When I was like 21 years old, I went to the... The Heisman Trophy.
At the Downtown Athletic Club?
Yeah, I managed to get invited. Like, I had an extra ticket, or somebody gave me a ticket, and I went to the thing. And I went to the bathroom, and Bob Costas was in the next urinal. And I was, like, 21, so this was 1990, 91. And I said, and I was peeing, and I went, I just wanted to say, I'm a big fan of yours. And he went, don't you know the rule? You're not supposed to talk when you're in the urinal. And I was like, oh, God. I didn't. So that's how I learned the rule. Anyway, I saw him at the Knicks game. I went at the Knicks game, and I never met him before since then. And I said to him, hey, this is Bobby Cannavale. I just wanted to introduce myself and say, when I was 21, I told him the story. And he went, doesn't sound like something I'd say. Shot me down. Just complete shoot down.
Twice. Well, he was also sitting on the toilet when you told him the second time. He was.
So what did you?
And shut the door, dude. I don't care that you have two Emmys. Chip. Shut the door, Chip.
Oh my gosh. God, I love those guys. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Jesse in Syracuse, New York. We'll take your phone call. Your old neck of the woods, Christopher. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Rich. First time, long time. Chris, hey. Shout out Syracuse, as always.
Shout out Marshall Street.
Yep. I wish I could be calling today with some joy in my voice after a week one win against the Bills. But seeing Rodgers go down just like Testaverde in game one, and him actually being an honorary captain last night at MetLife is just deja vu all over again. And seeing the same no confidence, predictable play calling with Zach Wilson needing the defense to carry him, I expect to see the same thing going with the co-host teams with Dallas and New England in the next week. We need to see, as Diana Russini just reported, the Jets go after Carson Wentz. Ugh. We need to see that.
No, we don't. Jesse, let me just... No, we don't, Jesse.
Come on, Rich, no?
No, we don't.
Rich.
Jesse. Jesse.
Let me
paint the
picture.
No, no, no. Let me paint you the picture, Jesse. And I'll pay you the compliment of being blunt.
Dig, if you will, a
picture. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. We saw Carson Wentz at the end of his Philadelphia tenure, and somehow, some way, Howie Roseman got Indianapolis to say, we'll take him. And then I was there at the combine when Frank Reich was there, and it was so obvious that they were ready to just get Carson Wentz the hell out of there after they lost in Jacksonville in the last game, and Jim Irsay didn't want to see his face anymore, and they wanted him out of there, and they somehow got the Washington Commanders to say, we'll take him. And then as soon as he went there, Ron Rivera, when it's all said and done in Washington, might say the worst decision he made was putting Carson Wentz out there and taking Taylor Heineke out. Any Commanders fan will tell you that. Thank you for the call, Jesse. In Syracuse, please call back. No, thank you. If I had to go anywhere for any former Philadelphia quarterback, despite having seen him in Indianapolis last year, be one of the many quarterbacks that crapped out there, I would take Nick Foles. I would take Foles because he can come in a pinch and make these throws. I'm assuming they can take a look at him in some sort of a warm-up. First of all, shares an agent with Rodgers. Easy, lickety-split, done. Also, on top of it, he is, when you talk about terrific human being and coach in cleats as well. Like,
that's true.
One combination that I'd love to see for Zach Wilson, because it's going to be him. You're not going to go take a quarterback from another team that's a starter and just throw him in right now over Zach. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to have him there in case Zach does show up like 2022. Perfect combination. Foles and Rodgers in the quarterback room, pumping this guy with knowledge as much as he can possibly handle. And if Zach goes down, bring in Nick Foles. We've seen the magic carpet ride before from him. We haven't from Carson Wentz. I would take Foles.
Who's your backup right now?
Was it Tim Boyle? Is that they didn't even have him active yesterday?
Good question.
He wasn't even active. He's on the practice squad right now. Right now. So I can't believe I'm being tested on who the third string quarterback for the Jets is right now.
Yeah, you don't have one officially on the roster.
That's because he was on the practice squad. They didn't put him up yet. And they're going to have to right now.
Yeah, you're going to.
Because somebody's not just walking in through that door and being the backup in Dallas. Yeah. Let's talk about the Bills side of things a little bit here, okay? I'll give the Bills fans a little red meat. Let's talk about the team that actually plays in New York State. Remember Josh Allen came in on the show Friday, and he's like, "We're going to go down to New Jersey," and I'm like, "That's a very Western New York thing to say."
He's right.
You know what Bills fans want to hear and what Bills fans want to see, and he knows what he showed Bills fans last night is what nobody wants to see, including himself. Four turnovers, three interceptions, all to the same guy in Jordan Whitehead, and then that fumble where he took his eyes off the snap if something was going on. I don't know. Obviously, I need to look at the film to see whose mistake that was, to use that phrase. And he owned it. He absolutely owned
it. He did.
Last night, which is, by the way, what got Zach Wilson in hot water last year, is when he didn't own it.
Right.
He knows the drill. This is what he had to say after the game last night.
Josh, the four turnovers, was that something that they did, or is that just you maybe forcing the ball, trying to force the ball in a little bit?
Yeah, trying to force the ball. Yeah, same same place, different day.
How do you fix it? What do you got to do to get it on track?
Yeah, I mean, mindset-wise, just trusting what I see and sticking with it and not trying to force anything. And it's a good defense we played, but, you know, we can't play two guys. Can't play them and us, and I played us tonight, and
good for you, Josh, to say that. And by the way, when I think he says same place, I'm assuming he means MetLife, because the Jets did this. They did this to him last year with Zach. And it's a good defense. He's right. But the turnovers and some of them were just not good.
Not great, Bob.
Well, one turned into a punt. And
hey, it was third down and, put right. The Jets inside the five. Here's the other two.
I'm going to say the week one ripple effects from this game will last longer with the Jets than the Bills. That's for damn sure. Maybe I'm not going on a very long limb to say that, but Josh Allen still got them in position to tie that game last night. And he came on the show last Friday. He's like, nothing was going on with Diggs. They did have to hug it out, which kind of are two statements that don't really square. But he did say, we're done. We're reading from the same word. It's win. Wasn't that apparent to you last night? First throw of the game, right, a dart to Diggs.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. The touchdown. I thought that play was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he crossed the line of scrimmage. The play was alive, and he didn't. He
by
didn't.
The tip of his toes.
I know, but he didn't.
Yeah, I know.
And how many quarterbacks can keep the play alive like that in the NFL? What you have to do, and I know what you're saying, I know your body language, radio audience might not see it either, is sometimes that does get him into trouble. Same thing about Favre. It would do that all the time.
God, he does the dumbest things sometimes.
I know. So did Favre.
It's got to be so frustrating being a Bills fan watching this dude, because you know how talented he is. You know what he can do. You know what he's capable of.
But you're going to see that
and
more often than not.
And then he'll have games like that yesterday.
The Jets' defense is just damn good.
Can't lose that game, though. Can't lose that game. 13-6. Put him away. Can't do it. What are you doing?
I'll say more positives. I agree with you. James Cook looked pretty damn good.
Looked great.
Yes. Matt Milano may be best defender people aren't talking about. Does that guy bring the wood, like, every time? It's not like on occasion he'll just, like, kind of tap you.
Uh-uh.
I mean, he is bringing it.
And then he'll tell you what he did. Ooh. I know he got a flag for it, but he got
damn.
Right in Zach Wilson's face
damn.
After that.
And Vaughn's coming back. And Tre'Davious White, I believe Garrett was erased because the other Wilson was playing quarterback much of the time. But Trey White's excellent. Yes. This is a really
Floyd
good
got
football
after
team.
It. Greg Rousseau got after it. I mean,
they're going to win more than
you see
not.
Zach Wilson in there. You're sending the house on most plays.
Put the Bills schedule up. I know you want to, Hoskins. Just put it up. Just go ahead. I mean, Vegas is next. I'm assuming that's an early window game, which is not great for a team from the West Coast. At Washington, home for Miami is going to be just lit. That game in Jacksonville, I'm calling that one. And that is not going to be easy for Jacksonville alone, but Jacksonville's in London a week before. Jacksonville plays Atlanta in London week four. Jacksonville will be just like seeing Big Ben, you know, having what, bangers and mash? Is that what we're talking about?
Bangers and mash, yeah.
And they
could be 4-0. Like, they could beat the Chiefs this week, and suddenly they're riding high.
Who, Jacksonville you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
The Giants, they'll take care of the Giants. At New England, they've got their number in a way that the Jets kind of have the Bills in New Jersey. Tampa at Cincy. I'm not concerned.
Still a really hard schedule, man. Look at those games to end the year.
I would take that schedule right now for the Jets. I'll take Vegas this week and then Washington week three.
Well, your schedule.
Can I do that? Can we switch? Can
your
we switch?
Schedule is flop, though. You're front heavy, whereas the Bills back heavy.
I'd rather be back heavy to get some momentum going right now for Zach. So,
yeah.
Let's lay off the Bills is my headline here.
I mean, that is glass three-quarter full.
I know. Josh Allen deserves the criticism. Don't do that. It's as simple. It's like it's kind of like, you know, your teenager constantly touching the burning stove. It's like after all this time, you're really still going to touch the burning stove?
You're still grabbing it?
You don't see that flame that's been on for the last 10, 15? Like, you're holding the scissors that way? Really? You're telling it. Yeah, I'm giving you a little glimpse of Susie and mine and Susie's home life here. Like, really? Can you not cut the bread or the, you know, your melon? Like, Cooper, who's 12. Can you not cut your melon with a knife towards your body? Like, what are you doing?
I still do that.
Like, that's what Josh Allen playing quarterback is.
Yeah.
I still do.
So, my hand. We're good. I still think the Bills have a shot at this division. Anybody who's going to push back at me right now is nuts.
I mean, it's clearly Miami's to lose, though, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Miami looks, honestly, Miami emerges from week one looking the
in
prettiest
the
out of AFC East. The Jets are back in the Zach zone. I can't believe it, but it's true. The Patriots are clearly not clicking on every cylinder, and you got to wonder if they're going to. The defense has shown.
But they're improved.
Yep.
They're improved, but they're not going to be like, hey, I can't wait to see Sunday night how Belichick is going to watch this film of what we saw, of what Tua did with Tyreek, and come up with his one thing he likes to take away. You know, I don't know what it is.
Five guys on Tyreek.
Well, maybe exactly. It might be, I don't know, it might be Tua's comfort level in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Whatever coverages to disguise to make sure Tua doesn't get it out in just three steps.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
If you make him hold it for another beat, you might get him.
Right.
And the way to do it is to confuse him, not try and just run a free guy at you. And we're going to talk about that with Daniel Jeremiah because his film that he popped on his Instagram feed illustrates that. But for the moment, just Bills fans. Like the jet quarterback in the MRI machine would say, R-E-L-A-X. We'll take a break. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. My top five most outstanding performances of week one coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. Back here on the show, I think the Jets killed Carl again.
From Seinfeld? Curb. I mean, from a curb? Yeah.
Yeah.
That clip was going around again yesterday.
Can't handle the disappointment. And then after the Josh Allen fumble, you see who chimed in? Mark Sanchez chimed in.
Oh, gosh.
Sanchez chimed in. Josh Allen just ran into his own guy and fumbled. Weird.
He tweeted you yesterday, too.
Who did?
Mark Sanchez.
I missed it.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I can't remember. I, like, it was something I scrolled by and saw. I'll look for it right now, though.
I saw the clip, too. Allen clearly wasn't expecting the snap. He was looking toward the sideline, and it just backed him in the chest.
Dude, the Jets getting the touchdown grab from Garrett Wilson.
Catch of the year.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable play.
I think that's the clubhouse leader, and it'll stay there probably for a while.
For a while.
I know.
He's until literally Sunday. Boxing the dude out, and then like one hand tips it to himself as he's falling down.
The Jets version of the Odell catch in the stadium.
Unbelievable.
Right? It means so much. Division opponent, night game, all that business. Then for that to be followed up by the fumble, and then for it to be followed up by getting an actual first down, but playing it so conservatively, you're leaving time on the clock for Josh Allen. And then he goes down the field to set up a field goal. And then it doinks off the upright and then still goes through. And then the Jets lose the coin toss. And then they have a walk-off punt return for a touchdown. That is truly not the way I saw this game wrapping up after I saw it the way it started.
We need an immediate 30 for 30 short on this.
And 30, bringing 30 minutes.
30, yeah.
Immediately. 30 on the, a 30 on the 30 minutes.
Immediately.
I can't believe that. Truly still can't.
30.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, I was on Westwood One Radio last night. Great call by Kevin Harlan on the walk-off and everything that was going on. Kurt Warner and I are all part of the Monday Night Football that you can get for free on Westwood One, the NFL all season long, sponsored by AutoZone. You can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app. You can ask Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Can get me, Kurt, and Kevin all season long for free and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Andrew in Cleveland, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Rich, not much. First time ever calling in. Just want to say thanks for taking my time.
You got it.
I was listening to your podcast, the replay there of the Monday, my brain's drawing a blank.
Go for it.
On hold so long.
No, take your breath. Go for it, Andrew. You got it.
But you were saying about Pittsburgh not having a big loss against San Fran, and I kind of slightly disagreed when you said that, because Cleveland also plays San Fran, so that could be a division split.
No, the reason why I said it, Andrew, is that, again, when it all comes down to it, the tiebreaks go overall record, which, as you know, and then it's head-to-head, and let's just say that splits. Then it's division record. Then it's conference record. Then it goes eventually to common opponents. And so that's what I'm saying. Of course it can come home to roost in terms of a tiebreak against other teams in their division.
Lately is how our season goes. It always seems to come down to we need about five miracles to come together to get into the playoffs.
Well, so are you from Pittsburgh in Cleveland? Because I heard a little bit of...
I told him on the air. Yeah, I live in actually Newcastle, about 40 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. I work as a truck driver. I'm sitting in Cuyahoga Heights, which is about 20 minutes outside of right now.
Okay. So, TJ, are you proud of me? I picked that up.
Yeah.
I picked that up a little bit right there.
Stuff
right Andrew, ends. Thanks for calling, man. Call back.
Picked up the ends there.
I caught it. I got a whiff of the ends right there.
Good.
You're going to write that down, whiff of the ends?
Well, we still need a fast team. I know.
We got lost in that.
I know.
There's still time. It's still time to name our team. All right, let's go glass half full here. You know, my glass has been half empty quite a bit.
Let's do it.
I've got the top five standout performances for week one presented by Dave and Buster's. Are you ready? Let's go.
I know I'm going to like this.
We're going to do it. You know I'm going to get around to it eventually, right?
Kings and I went to Dave and Buster's on Friday. I love that place.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's good because they're presenting my top five standout performances for week one. Number five is a guy who is tied for second on the Jets last night in receptions. Jordan Whitehead, the guy who picked off Josh Allen three times on Monday Night Football. Yeah, without buddy. His grabs, it would not have been possible for the Jets to win that football game last night. Joe Buck said it when he grabbed his third interception. He's never had three interceptions before in a season. And he was Jordan on the spot when the Jets needed it. And he is the standout performer on a standout defense that took it to Josh Allen and helped the Jets win a game that I still can't believe that they won because of the way that it started, which I can believe because I'm a Jet fan of 54 years. We're back in a darkness retreat. But bottom line, he's number five on a standout performance of the week. Number four on this list is, I'm going to go with this guy, even though Brandon Ayuk had a terrific performance. I'm going with Christian McCaffrey, who is my offensive player of the year candidate coming into the season. I predicted just seeing him do what he's done in the past and what he did last year in a short time with the 49ers, his first full season of offseason workouts and practices and OTAs and training camp and his first full playing season with the 49ers began with 22 rushes for 152 yards Ooh. And a touchdown. And he caught a couple balls that were necessary to be caught from Brock Purdy. Christian McCaffrey, man. And Debo and Kittle hardly did a thing.
Yep.
And the 49ers looked the way that they looked, number four. Number three, in terms of standout performances for week number one, I could not choose one. I just got to give it to the whole Cowboys defense. The whole big D.
Yeah.
D. The Cowboys defense, 7 sacks, 3 turnovers, 2 scores, 40-0 shutout. Only the 6th 40-burger shutout to open a season in the Super Bowl era. And, man, that's who Zach Wilson's got to get his first start of the season against on a short week.
Good luck.
Look out.
That seems a little low on your list.
Well, that's, I know you would say that, but number two on the list is the guy who came up with the 4th best passing yards performance in the history of week one football, and that's Tua Tagovailoa. Tua in Los Angeles with Justin Herbert on the other side, the guy who was chosen after him in the draft, and all he has heard for years is how the Dolphins took the wrong guy. And everybody wondering, why is he still playing based on the concussions he suffered last year? And he took care of himself behind a makeshift offensive line and threw for 466 yards and 3 touchdowns and looked terrific doing it. Were there a couple underthrown balls? Sure. But everything else to me looked like money from the guy who is performing, as I called, Tua-jitsu in week number one. And the number one standout performance in week number one, I think everyone can be in agreement, with all due respect to Dallas and all due respect to everybody else, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Looked unguardable. You cannot cover this guy. It looked, again, like he was being operated via joystick. 15 targets, that might not be enough. 11 catches, 215 yards, and 2 very important scores. Good luck to anybody that's got to try and cover him because there's Jalen Waddle on the other side. So I don't know how to stop him. He, to borrow a phrase from Dan Patrick, I don't even know how you can contain him. So he is without a doubt the number one standout performer of week number one.
Do you think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
Let's go. Let's go. Just because I like saying his name too. Puka Nacua.
Yeah, come on.
Honestly, it sounds like this was the name that got thrown out by the writers of Lilo and Stitch. We're not going to go with Puka Nacua. Yes, we are. 15 targets of Matthew Stafford.
Like,
no, no Cooper Kupp. We're going to target Puka Nacua 15 times. He's going to catch 10 of them, 119 yards, unreal. Fifth round pick out of BYU, Provo, Utah's finest. I know Tutu Atwell had a day. I know Stafford had a day. The entire offense, 27 first downs, 426 yards, 39 minutes and 23 seconds time of possession. Thanks to the unstoppable Puka Nacua. And that right there is my standout performance list for week number one. My top five standout performances of week number one, again, presented by Dave & Buster's. Watch football like a pro at D&B with 40-foot TVs, cocktails, beer, and a new $5 bites. It's the ultimate watch experience, Dave & Buster's.
Okay.
You approve?
Tyreek was my pick for Offensive Player of the Year.
That's not a bad one. Who did you choose for Offensive Player of the Year, Chris?
Bijan Robinson.
Okay, he scored.
Scored?
My coach of the year was Dan Campbell.
Not a great start for my coach.
Who's yours?
Mike Tomlin.
Who's your coach of the year?
I can't even remember.
Okay, there you go. It's a good choice.
Should be Mike McCarthy now, TJ.
You know who's in line for it now? Robert Saleh's in line for coach of the year now. If the Jets go and win this division,
like the Wolf said.
If the Jets go and win this division, I know that. Good one, Mike. I heard what you said, what Winston Wolf said. I got it. I got it. I understand what you said.
You're sending the Wolf?
I understand. Is that what you said?
It is what he said. It is what he said.
Okay, keep your microphone down if you're going to make Pulp Fiction references.
Come on.
I heard what you said, and you're right, but I'm just saying, before the season, it would be just like, okay, you're just rolling the footballs out for Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you win the AFC East,
coach him up.
Put him in the hall.
I mean, if you
give him a gold jacket, green jacket, all of them. You know? Full Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Gold jacket, green jacket.
Hour number three on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't miss it. We've got some great stuff in store. Daniel Jeremiah and so much more. You know what I'm talking about?
Can I switch mine to Mike McDaniel?
My coach is Peterson.
Who's it?
Doug Peterson.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. He beat the Chiefs this week. It's 2-0.
Oh, he's on his way if that happens.
On his way if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried.
Is Kelsey
about,
playing?
I'm scared about the Dolphins. We have not heard anything about Kelsey.
We haven't heard anything about that.
We have not heard anything about
Kelsey. All right,
Kelsey.
I just got a thumbs up, so it's confirmed, and you should be checking in.
No. Are we gonna tease?
No, we're gonna just. Should I just?
We're just gonna pop him on?
No, no, not right now.
No,
he's
I know. But
showing up in 5 minutes.
What I'm saying, you're not gonna say it, and then all of a sudden, there he is.
What else am I? What other choice do I have to say?
You don't.
I mean, so what are you? What
I'm
are you saying?
Saying you
I shouldn't say it now.
I'm saying we. Are you gonna say it now?
He literally, yeah. Why not?
But I'm saying, why didn't you say it while we were on the?
Because he literally just hit me with a thumbs up.
Oh,
it's like
it was
a pre-confirmation.
Yeah. Chris, I don't know if you're aware. Anybody that I've been waiting for over the last 48 hours waits to the last possible second until I know I have him.
I've heard that.
I don't know if you watch Sunday morning.
I've heard.
Okay? If you watch game day morning.
You mean you're sending the Wolf?
Literally went to sleep Saturday night, didn't know who was on Sunday morning. So can you cut me a little break?
Okay.
David Bakhtiari is about to join us.
Hey.
The Green Bay Packers, BFF of Aaron Rodgers, and a guy who's like, let's get some natural grass out there, shall we?
Yeah.
And then, Daniel Jeremiah. And phone calls, 844-204-RICH.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.